Amen. Well, please take your Bibles, and if you turn to me at this time, to the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 8 this morning, and verses 26 through 40. Our message series is called Church on the Move, and today's the last message in what I'm calling the first section or first part of our series. And if you go all the way back to our introduction to this series, we learned then that there are four main movements in the book of Acts. And those four main movements also make up the four parts of our outline for this series. Chapters 1 through 8 track the movement of the church from Jerusalem to Samaria. Chapters 9 through 15 track the movement of the church from the Jews to the Gentiles. Chapters 16 through 20 track the movement of the church from Asia to Europe. And then chapters 21 through 28 track the movement of the church as it makes its ways to the ends of the earth. So today we're finishing up chapter 8. We're finishing up that first section. We're going to finish out the church's first movement from Jerusalem to Samaria. And then we're going to take a break from the book of Acts. We're going to do some other things. And sometime next year we'll come back and we'll look at that second movement in chapters 9 through 15. So right now, as we get started, I'm just going to read from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 29. Please stand with me for the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear God, as we look at the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch this morning, Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this story better. But even more important, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the lessons that you've built into this passage for us today, Lord, on how we can do a better job of sharing our faith with other people. Lord, people need to hear about Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to what your Spirit says to us through your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. You know, last week we looked at three people from the first part of Acts chapter 8. You might recall we looked at Saul the persecutor, Philip the evangelist, we're going to see him again today, and then Simon the sorcerer. Three people. Well, today we come to a fourth person. Today we come to the Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip's encounter with this eunuch from Ethiopia, that's an amazing story. Okay, all by itself. But it is also full of practical teaching on evangelism. And you know, we've been talking about church on the move throughout this whole series, all the way since Acts chapter 1, and how we are all of us, were called to be moving out with the gospel and sharing Christ with those around us. So today we come to the question, well, how do you do that? How exactly do you do that? How do you effectively share the gospel with others? And what we're going to find is that Philip's encounter today with the Ethiopian eunuch teaches us seven very important principles of effective evangelism. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the story first. We're going to just talk our way through the text. And then towards the end of the service, we're going to look at these seven principles. There's an outline in your worship guide. I would encourage you to take that out. It will help you to follow your way through the story. It also has those seven principles for effective evangelism laid out together. The story begins when Philip is sent to the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Philip is sent. And here Philip receives very specific instructions from God. Look at verse 26 with me. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So God sends Philip to this road. It's south of Jerusalem. It's on its way down to the Gaza Strip. This is a very specific instruction. It comes from the angel of the Lord. And so this was a direct revelation to Philip from God. Now Philip was probably more than just a little confused by these instructions. First of all, this is a desert road, okay? It's out in the middle of nowhere. And what's Philip been doing? Philip's been very busy ministering in the cities and towns of Samaria. Lots of people around to hear the gospel. And so he suddenly goes from this very busy and fruitful ministry. God sends him out to Nowheresville. He's told to go, but not told why. It's similar to Abraham in the Old Testament, who was told to go, but not told where. And these instructions didn't make any sense. But you know what? Philip followed them. Philip went anyways. Philip was not like Jonah in the Old Testament, right? What did Jonah do? Jonah ran the other way when he received his instructions from the Lord. But here's the deal. Philip had his instructions from God, and so do we. After Jesus' resurrection, right before he ascended to heaven, Jesus gave us the Great Commission. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God told Philip to go. Jesus tells us to go. So the only question really is will we be obedient to God's call like Abraham and Philip? Or will we be disobedient like Jonah? God told Philip to go. Philip went. And when he went, he found a divine appointment waiting for him. Look at verses 27 to 29 next. So Philip started out. On his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now this eunuch, we call him the Ethiopian eunuch because that's what they called him, in those days, Ethiopia. This is not the same as modern day Ethiopia. Okay, this would be the same as what we call Sudan today. This is modern day Sudan. It's what the Old Testament calls Cush. Ethiopia was considered the end of the earth by the Greeks and the Romans. When the Greeks and the Romans thought of the end of the earth, they thought Ethiopia or modern day Sudan. So in this story, in a sense, we have a preview of the gospel going to the ends of the earth. Remember, that's going to be the final section of the book of Acts. When the gospel goes out to the ends of the earth, we have a preview of that right here in chapter 8. Even though the main focus of chapters 1 through 8 is simply the gospel going from Jerusalem to Samaria. Now, this eunuch, he was in charge of the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. So he was sort of like a modern-day minister of finance or a CFO. Candace was not a name, okay? The queen of Ethiopia, we don't know what her name was. Candace was the title. It's like in Egypt. You know, the name of the pharaoh is what? Well, we don't know, but we know his title. Pharaoh. The next one after him, what do you call him? Pharaoh. He's always Pharaoh. Same thing with the Romans. The ruler of the Romans is called Caesar. And then Caesar this or Caesar that. Same thing with the Ethiopians. This was Candace. There'd been a Candace before her. There'd be a Candace after. It was simply the title. This eunuch would have been castrated as a boy in order to serve in the queen's court. So his entire life has been dedicated to serving the queen in her court. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And so here we have an example of a Gentile who had converted to Judaism. And in this way, he's also a preview for us now. He's a preview of the gospel going forth to the Gentiles. Remember, that's the second major movement in the book of Acts. So we're getting closer now. When we get to chapter 9, we're getting closer to actual Gentiles coming to faith in Christ. How did God move the gospel out? The gospel went first to the Jews, right? Then to the Samaritans. That's where we are in chapter 8. Then to Gentile converts to Judaism, that's the Ethiopian eunuch, and eventually it will go to the Gentiles themselves. As a eunuch, this man could visit the temple, and he did, but he could not enter beyond the court of the Gentiles. He was limited in his movements in the temple. He'd gone to Jerusalem to worship, now he's going home, he's on this desert road. Luke tells us he's reading. He's reading a book. What book is he reading? Book of Isaiah the prophet. This is really unusual, very unusual for an individual to have their own copy of a scroll of a book of the Bible. Scrolls were really expensive. Of course, you know, he's got a high position in a country, and so he could afford it. But he has an actual scroll of Isaiah. Holy Spirit tells Philip, go up to that chariot. Stay near it. Just imagine Philip jogging alongside the chariot, trying to keep up. And this is another set of very specific instructions, isn't it? This was probably more than just intuition, probably more than just Philip sort of sensing. I think maybe the Spirit saying, do that. This is probably another direct revelation from the Spirit, as we saw earlier in verse 26. Now, God may or may not give you a direct revelation, as he did to Philip. But I can guarantee this. When you ask God for opportunities to witness, he will provide you with divine appointments too. He will either send you to people or he will send people to you who are ready to hear the gospel. And so, like Philip, we need to remain open to the Spirit's leading. We don't want to miss out on any of those various divine appointments that God may have ready for us to share Christ. So that's where we start in this story. Philip is sent, just like we all are. We are all sent. Philip was sent. Number two, Philip shares. Philip shares. Sensing the Spirit's leading, what does Philip do? He initiates a conversation with the eunuch. We see this in verses 30 and 31. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Once again, I can just picture Philip. Hey, do you understand what you're reading in there? You know, call it out to him. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. So Philip runs up to the chariot. He hears a man reading from Isaiah. Most people read out loud in those days. This was not unusual for him to be reading out loud. A silent reading didn't come until later in history. You go, why is that? Why wouldn't people read silently? It's just the materials, the scrolls, the typography. You know, it's kind of challenging. So you read out loud. It wasn't until we had much improved reading materials that people said, you know what? I could actually just read this in my head. You know, so he's reading out loud like the way most people did. And so Philip can hear him. So Philip knows what he's reading. He says, do you understand that? What a great opening for evangelism. What a great opening. You can do that. I can do that, right? When we're talking to people and then something comes up, you say, well, do you understand what Christianity is all about? Do you understand what the Bible teaches about that? Do you understand who Jesus is and why he came? Those are great ways to initiate conversations about the gospel. Philip asks the eunuch, do you understand? He says, how can I? Yeah, who's got to explain this to me? And he invites Philip to come up and join him in the chariot. You see, if we want to be obedient to God's call to evangelism, we also, like Philip, we need to be ready and willing to initiate conversations with people. You see, you can't share the gospel with someone unless you're first having a conversation with them. Now, granted, not all conversations lead to the gospel, but all gospel conversations begin with some type of conversation. And so if you want to share the gospel with people, you got to get out of your comfort zone. This is easier for some of us than others, but get out of our comfort zone. Start initiating conversations, and especially when you sense the Spirit's leading. Philip initiates the conversation, and then Philip shares the gospel with him. Picking up now in verse 32. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. Now, we get a quote from the passage of scripture he was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who's the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Folks, this has got to be one of the easiest
lead-ins to the gospel in history, right? First of all, the man's reading from the Bible, okay? I mean, that's a pretty easy lead-in when you find someone reading the Bible. Not only that, he's reading from Isaiah 53, which just happens to be one of the clearest prophecies of Christ in the Old Testament. Not only that, Isaiah 53 is not only one of the clearest prophecies, it is a prophecy specifically about the good news that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And not only that, but it's the eunuch who asked Philip, can you explain this to me? Can you tell me who's this talking about? Himself or someone else? Said, oh yeah, someone else. Let me tell you about that someone else. It's a perfect segue into the gospel. And I got to tell you, if Philip missed this one, then he missed big time, right? But Philip doesn't miss it, right? He's Philip the evangelist. We call him that for a reason. Yeah, he doesn't miss any of these. And starting with that very passage of Scripture, he shares the good news of Jesus with the eunuch. Question: when was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? I'm serious. Think about it. When was the last time you shared the gospel? When was the last time you had the opportunity to share the gospel? When was the last time you were at least looking for an opportunity to share the gospel? When was the last time in advance you prayed and asked God to give you an opportunity to share the gospel? You see, we are all called to be evangelists. Yeah, Philip the evangelist, he's got the title, but we're all called. We all want that attached to our name. Wouldn't you like that to be attached to your name when someone thinks about you? Oh yeah, they're an evangelist. They're always talking about Jesus. We're all called to be evangelists, but it starts with prayer and asking God for opportunities. Then looking for those opportunities throughout the week and the day. Then recognizing those opportunities when they come, and then taking advantage of those opportunities by sharing the good news of Jesus with people who so desperately need him. And so Philip is sent. God sends him out to the desert road to Gaza. Philip shares. He takes advantage of this divine appointment God has for him by sharing the gospel with the Ethiopian eunuch. What was the result of all of this? God saved the eunuch. The eunuch believed in Jesus and he began his new life in Christ. Now we know the eunuch believed because of what happens here. When they come to some water, he asked Philip about baptism. Look at verses 36 to 38. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. So you would say, well, how did he know about baptism? Well, Philip must have told him. Philip must have already explained to him about faith and trusting in Jesus and baptism. Because when they pass the water, the Ethiopian speaks up. He says, there's water. Why can't I be baptized? Now, this is how we know that he believed. Because if he had not believed in Christ, you know what Philip would have told him? He'd say, well, actually, here's the reason why you should not be baptized, is because you haven't believed in Christ yet. Right? That's what Philip would have said. In fact, some of our Bible translations have an extra verse inserted here that really shouldn't be there. Someone asked me, does that happen often in the Bible? Very rarely. But a couple times in church history, what happened was a scribe got a little excited and added something they shouldn't have done. And so there's a missing verse 37. If you read your Bible, you'll just notice it goes 36, 38. You go, who took out verse 37? No one took it out. Somebody put it in. You'll find it in a footnote in the bottom of your page. But I'll tell you what it says. It says this. You know, he said, why should I be baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So apparently some scribe is bothered that the text doesn't specifically say that the eunuch believed. So they said, well, make it clearer. I'll just add it in myself. Not supposed to do that, folks. Okay, not supposed to add anything to Scripture. And you know what? It wasn't even necessary. He didn't have to do it because it's so clear that the eunuch believed. Otherwise, Philip would never have baptized him. The eunuch says, why shouldn't I be baptized? Philip says, no objections. There's no reason. You've already believed. He orders the chariot to stop. They go down into the water. Philip baptizes him, initiating him into his new life in Christ. And so now the eunuch has received this new life in Christ. His sins are forgiven. He has restored relationship with God. And he is just filled with joy as anybody would when they receive Jesus. And he starts his journey home. Look at verses 39 and 40 now. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Philip's job was now done. So the Lord took him away. And if you read that and said something strange is going on here, you're right. Very mysterious phrasing here. The Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. It's like he was there one moment and then he wasn't. And I believe that's exactly what happened. He was just transported out of there. The Spirit physically took him away. God's done this before. Remember Elijah in the Old Testament? Elijah was physically taken away from earth and brought to heaven. Or possibly Paul in the New Testament, he says, I was caught up to the third heaven. He said, whether in a vision or in my body, he says, I don't know. Well, it may have been in his body. And then he was returned. Or the taking away of believers at the return of Christ, we will be physically taken away. Well, the Spirit does that to Philip. He's taken away. Meanwhile, the eunuch goes on his way. He's so happy. He's just full of joy, rejoicing in the Lord, rejoicing in his salvation. He is the first Gentile convert. He is the first African convert. His conversion is a preview both of the gospel going to the Gentiles and then also to the ends of the earth. And what about Philip? He took him away. Where'd he go? Well, he just suddenly appears in Azotus. You go, oh, okay, well, that's not too bad. That's just around the corner. Is that around the block? 20 miles. 20 miles away, folks. Can you imagine? God just, you know, drops him in Azotus. 20 miles north, 3 miles inland from the Mediterranean Sea. Now, if you're Philip and God just drops you somewhere, what are you going to do? Well, if you're Philip the evangelist, you evangelize. That's what he does. He goes, okay, well, I'm here. Let's share the gospel. And so he does that. He starts sharing the gospel in those northern coastal cities. And he eventually settles in Caesarea, where we find him 20 years later. Finally settled down, found a place to call home. He's married. He has 4 daughters. And he's still called an evangelist after all those years. He never lost the fire, never lost the enthusiasm of telling people about Jesus. Folks, this is an amazing story. You know, perhaps a modern parallel would be you're in an airport and you see someone reading the Bible and you stop to ask them some questions and that opens up a conversation. It leads you into sharing the gospel and, you know, the person begins their new life in Christ because of your witness. And then God gets you to where you're going without the plane. No, that part doesn't happen. But yeah, they believe and they're rejoicing. I mean, who doesn't want that to happen? It can happen. All we need to do is share Jesus with people. God does the rest of the work. So it's a wonderful story, but it's so much more than just a story. This is a true life event that serves as a paradigm for you and me, for us, and for our gospel witness. And so in closing, what I want us to do is I want to share with you these 7 principles now for effective evangelism. 7 principles that we find right here in this story. They all come directly out of our text this morning. So if you don't have that outline out yet, you might want to take it out now so you can see all 7 principles. Principle number 1, be open to the Spirit's leading. Be open to the Spirit's leading. Philip was open to God's leading, first when he went south to the Gaza Road and in the desert, then again when he went up beside the chariot and starts jogging alongside. God used both of those leadings to bring Philip into contact with the eunuch. Why? So that Philip could share the gospel with him. Once again, you may not receive a direct revelation as Philip did. You probably won't. God doesn't usually work that way. But if you sense the Spirit leading you, if you sense, oh my, is this something that God's calling me to do? Should I be talking to that person? If you sense the Spirit leading you, step out in faith and follow. Who knows what God may have in mind? That's principle number 1. Be open to the Spirit's leading. Number 2, be willing to go where God sends you. Remember Philip, he was actively ministering in a busy city in Samaria when God told him, go to the desert. Once again, I'm sure Philip did not understand why God would do this, but God knew why. God had his purposes, and God has his purposes for you too. Are you willing to go where God sends you, even if you do not understand why? See, that is part of our commitment as followers of Jesus Christ. Number three, God cares about individual people. It's not all about the crowds, folks. You know, God had Philip leave the crowds in Samaria in order to minister to this one person. One person. We see Jesus do the same thing in the Gospels a number of times. I think about when he was in a big crowd, and the woman who suffered from bleeding reached out and just touched the hem of his garment. And he says, whoa, everybody stop. Who touched me? And he reaches out and he ministers to the individual in the midst of the crowd. Don't lose sight of the individual people around you. God could be calling you to share the gospel with any one of the people that you meet today or this week or this month. You've got to be aware. You've got to be looking. That leads us into number four. Look for openings to share the gospel. That's what Philip did, right? He heard the eunuch reading from the Bible and he asked him, do you understand this? Do you understand what you're reading? That led right into the opportunity to share the gospel. Remember, I was catching up with an old friend, and I was just asking, I was like, how things been? How things been going for you? Never forget his answer. He said, bad news, Ray. That's all I can say. My whole life's been nothing but bad news. Well, folks, if that's not an opening for the gospel, what is? I mean, come on, even I could see that one, right? And so, you know, he couldn't miss it. So I asked him. Said, well, how would you like to hear some good news? He said, oh. I said, Ray, there's nothing I would like to hear better right now than some good news. And so I shared with him the good news about Jesus. And that day, he gladly prayed and received Jesus as his Savior. Look for openings to share the gospel. You might not always get such an obvious one, or as a clear one like Philip got or I got that day. But if you're praying for opportunities and then you're looking for those opportunities, God's going to give them to you. He will give you so many opportunities to share Christ with others. Number five, begin where they are. Okay, don't rush things. Don't jump ahead. Don't start just talking about something that you haven't been talking about already. Begin where they are. That's what Philip did. What did he do? He began with the very passage that the eunuch was reading. He didn't say, oh, let me go someplace else where I'm more comfortable. Be sensitive to where people are in their lives. Are they going through a difficult time? You can offer to pray for them. Are they struggling? Are they self-satisfied? Are they seeking? How you respond is going to be different depending on where they are. Begin where they are and then trust God to lead the conversation from there. Two more. Number six, tell them about Jesus. Tell them the good news about Jesus. Once again, that's what Philip did. He started with that passage of scripture. He began where he was, but he got to the gospel. He told them about Jesus. And yeah, you can have a conversation with someone. You can tell people about your church. Oh yeah, I've got a great church. I love my church. You can tell them about your family. You can tell them about your testimony. But what they really need to hear is the gospel, right? It is the gospel that is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. So be sure to tell them about Jesus. Tell them the good news that everyone who comes to Jesus for salvation receives forgiveness of sins and new life in Christ. And then finally, number seven, this one's so important. Bring them to a point of commitment. Bring them to a point of commitment. Philip told the eunuch about faith and baptism. And so when the time came, the eunuch was ready to be baptized and profess his faith in Christ. Too often when we share the gospel, we stop short of the finish line. We share them without Jesus, the good news. And we say, well, I'm glad I had a chance to talk to you. See you later. We're on our way. And we never ask them for a commitment.
We should never be afraid to ask someone for a commitment to Christ. You know, the worst that can happen is they say no. Okay? But what if they're ready to say yes? And we fail to ask. Asking a person if they would like to put their faith in Christ does two positive things. Two things here. First of all, it gives them the opportunity to trust Christ right then and there. That's awesome. Don't pass up on that. And then secondly, even if they say no, even if they're not ready to commit to Christ yet, you know what it does? It places the question of commitment before them for the future. And by asking for a commitment now, you may plant the seed for commitment to Christ later. See, we are all called to share the gospel with others. I don't want Philip to be the only one with the words evangelist put after his name. Can you imagine what our church would be like if every single one of us had the word evangelist after our name? Would we be a church on the move with the gospel? Oh man, that would be amazing. We're all called to share the gospel with others. People around you need Jesus. They will die in their sins if no one shares Christ with them. And so we need to learn these principles. We need to apply these principles so that we can be effective in sharing the good news of Jesus with those around us. How do you effectively share the gospel with others? Be open to the Spirit's leading. Be willing to go where God sends you. Remember that God cares about individual people. Look for those openings to share the gospel. Begin where they are, not where you might want to be. Begin where they are. But get there. Get to the gospel. Tell them the good news and bring them to a point of commitment. And if we all do that, folks, if we all do that, we will truly be a church on the move with the gospel. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you for Philip the evangelist. Lord, what a heart for you. What a heart for the gospel. And Lord, what wonderful lessons that you've laid out for us in your word today in this passage. There's so much that we can learn and apply. Help us to take these words to heart, God. And Lord, I know we've all been taught and instructed this morning. I pray that we've been encouraged and challenged. Perhaps some of us have been convicted. Perhaps when we stop to pause in that question, when was the last time I shared the gospel with someone? Lord, perhaps some of us here couldn't remember when the last time was, or maybe we did remember, but it was a long time ago. Lord, we need to change that. And Lord, the good news is that you've come to change us. Holy Spirit, you are here to change us, to help us to do better in these areas. And so, God, I pray that you would indeed take your word, bear fruit in our lives as we share Jesus with others and see people respond and come to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.